Welcome back to our listeners of the Let's Talk Talent podcast. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Jo Taylor. I'm MD of Let's Talk Talent, and our passion is unlocking the potential in people. And I'm really excited, if not thrilled, I have to say, to be welcoming two brilliant people. Craig, who is a senior leader in HR in the UK and the Middle East, and Amjad, who's a senior specialist in L&D with a leadership passion. And between the three of us, I'm hoping that we're going to light and give you practical tools and tips about modern leadership. We can all think about the stories of when we've been led by great people, but we tend to really focus on the negative. So that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how you can empower, how you can engage, how you can drive a culture of autonomy and trust. And I've got two great people to share, warts and all, their stories with you. So welcome, Craig and Amjad.
Thank you, Jo.
Thank you, Joel.
Brilliant. So Craig, I'm going to put you on the spot first, if that's okay. So we talked a while back, and you had this wonderful phrase, humble leadership. I wondered if you could, you know, explain to our listeners a little bit more about it. What did you mean by humble leadership, and how does that affect you in your leadership capacity, you know, both in the UK and in the Middle East?
Okay, so it's a really interesting question, and I'm so pleased we're doing this, because this is something that I'm massively passionate about. And I think what COVID has done has brought this absolutely to the fore. So there's lots of people, and I'll give you an example, and I've seen this both in the UK and in the region. You have, you know, people that are maybe in legacy leadership roles that have been there for historical reasons that have suddenly fallen by the wayside, and you've seen people demonstrating leadership skills in junior roles, right the way through the roles, and floating naturally to the tops. It's almost like a natural gravitas, which has been a really, really fascinating piece to watch and learn from. Humble you leadership, humility, I think has to start from within. I think there's a lot of things that you learn through experience. My biggest learn transitioning from the UK into the Middle East was all about that humble piece. And one of the challenges that you have when you go from the UK into the Middle East is the immediate realization that in many instances, when you're talking about some of this stuff, West is not always best. So you have to kind of realize and accept that you know, what you've got in terms of theories, principles, experience doesn't always work when you come to another part of the world. And I'm very honest that I made loads of mistakes when I did that. But being humble allowed me to communicate effectively with people from all different backgrounds. So from Emiratis, from Qataris, Indian, Pakistan, Thai, everyone. It was almost like a currency of trade for me to learn how to operate in the region. And I think for me, it also comes from within, and you know, subject to where these questions go and how we kind of unfold this conversation. I think Amjad will obviously be able to share some of his views, because he'll give you a first-hand experience of transitioning from maybe legacy command and control into a humble, leadership type of environment that was full of empowerment. And that's what I'm hoping, you know, he'll be able to bring that to life, because this is somebody that's experienced this over the last 4.5 years. And if I do say so, and, you know, Amjad was part of my team, did an amazing transition from where he was to where he is. And I'm immensely proud of what he's achieved.
So Amjad, you know, thanks, Craig, for setting that up really well. I'm going to throw to you then. So how does it feel to be led by someone that is a humble leader? What's the difference?
So Joe, thank you for the opportunity. Let me start by saying that it was enlightening. Before, like you said, 4.5 years ago, I was in a culture where it was more do this and this is the way it is done. Keep your stakeholders happy. We don't want any complaints from there. Then when Craig came in our lives, actually 4.5 years ago, he said, so how do you think it is done? So I said, excuse me, actually I can think, or you need to go and speak to this stakeholder. Why don't you go and ask that question? So when that happened, it was for the first time somebody was asking me about my opinion. Somebody was asking me about my idea. somebody wanted to know how things can be done, which was a fantastically different experience altogether. And I could contribute, I could collaborate, I could go and speak my mind out, I could. So he created an atmosphere where it was okay to make mistakes. And I knew that though I was responsible, but there's somebody behind me who was accountable. And he taught us that, honestly. He taught us the meaning of responsibility and accountability. So that's what humble leadership is all about. When, you know, I've read somewhere, we probably live 70 years and we end up making a very big mistake once every year. So that's 70 mistakes. But imagine if you could learn from 700 people around you, you know, and where you could have ideas thrown at you at the lowest of the low. So if you look at the pyramid, I mean, who are we serving at the end? It's our people, the most important in the organization, Joe, right? It's our people. Yeah. If you listen to them, if you empower them, and there are n number of reports which shows that, you know, engagement is less than 50% in major organizations. So if you empower our people, our employees, then they'll make your number two people happier, which are who? The people who buy your products and services.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, I totally believe that the more that you can join up your consumer experience, so your customer experience and your employee experience. There was a terrible program a couple of years ago on the telly with a call center in Wales, and the guy was larger than life and he really made me laugh. It was very, you know, I used to work in TV, so I can kind of say it was a terrible program in terms of the kind of values of it. But what, and he was called Nev, and what really made me laugh about him was that he was this character that was a bit like a used car salesman. But his engagement scores were off the charts because he said happy people sell. That was his tagline every single episode. But it's the same, isn't it, in any organization, that if there's a congruence between the customer and the employee and they feel empowered, trusted, motivated, enabled, then they're going to give you exponentially that, you know, 2 to 5% more than if you just tell them what to do. Does that make sense, Craig?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
So when you think about humble leadership, can you, you know, question to both of you, can you teach it or is it inherent?
It's a great question. And funnily enough, Amjad and I have been doing a lot of work recently on developing leadership programs and rolling them out for institution here. All of the leadership that I've experienced has come from two main sources. One is come from the what I'd call the traditional stalwart leadership course. You will go on this, it's the flagship program of what any company runs, and you'll learn those inherent leadership skills and capabilities. And the second part of that is experience. And it's quite interesting. So I think, with all due respect, people can learn the skills. But I think there's a more important part, it's the application of those skills.
Yeah.
And then more so now since COVID, it's how you then evolve those skills. Because leadership, this is almost leadership 2.0 in the purest sense, because we're moving to a new space now, because the demands of a leader versus in 2020 versus what they were like in 2019 kind of comes back to the example I shared with you, where, you know, you'd had, you know, command and control, very powerful leaders leading businesses, but then of course suddenly they weren't there anymore, as in, you know, people working remotely, and how do they get their message across? How do they control that? Everything has to change. So I think there's part of a person that has a natural level of humility. I think that kind of comes within. Okay. I think you can learn, and as long as you're happy to make mistakes and be upfront about that, then you can. And I think I did that here with these guys, you know, and I made loads of mistakes when I first came in, and they were horrified that I sat in a meeting probably a month in and said, guys, do you know what? I'm so sorry, that was my fault. I made a mistake with that approach. That was totally my fault. There was silence in the room. Shock, horror, that the manager has admitted he has made a mistake. And I was massively taken aback by that, right? So to answer the question, I think you can learn core skills, but I think there's an experiential piece and an inherent drive for humility.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'm going to throw a controversial question out to you, Amjad. And because I know you've got a leadership passion, is it time to get rid of formal leadership programs then? If it's more, you know, innate, like growth mindset, it's kind of you have it or you don't, can we just do away with them? Can we just get rid of them? Stop spending loads of money on them?
No, I would disagree, Joe. In a way, I think the problem lies in finding that quality in people. Like, I'll tell you from where I'm coming from. In the organizations that I've worked previously, it's like when you are good at something, naturally the progression is for you to become a leader. For example, if you're good in sales, you become a senior salesperson and so on and so forth. Then you become a manager. Suddenly you become a manager and you realize that just because you were good at it, it's not that you can make others do the same thing because you had a formula. It does not apply to many people. So it's about managing people. And I've read and heard like the quality of a leader to identify and say that everybody is unique and then to treat them uniquely is where humble leadership lies. And leadership programs are absolutely important, but who do we bring into that leadership program? And how do we identify that is more important than that?
So you're in a way.
Yes. Then once I've identified the real unique characteristic of a person, then I bring him and I groom him and I'm going to be like, you know, molding him into a right thing. That's what I feel.
So in some ways, we've kind of got to think about how this falls into the whole employee experience then. That, you know, we need to identify those characteristics. So if you bring in a graduate, for example, you're being really honest and transparent about the characteristics to perhaps be a future leader. And you're not necessarily putting people in boxes, but you're kind of giving that train. But you're also recognizing that specialism. So, you know, within, I don't know, like finance or data or is also recognized because isn't there a tendency in organizations now where there's a inherent tension between people having to make a choice quite early on where they go? A bit like we did when I was at school, you kind of go and see your career, showing my age. You sit with a careers advisor and they say, oh, you'd be really suited to teaching or whatever. In a way, we've brought some of those rules of the playground back into that sort of factory mentality of work, you know. What do you guys think? What do you think?
I think you're spot on. But then, you know, I'll challenge that again because I think the one thing that COVID has done and has thrown that all up in the air. So I think you've got a lot of that stuff and you've got the different generations now coming in, seeing millennials, you know, and I've been doing a lot of work recently here in the region, talking to a lot of the teachers and some of the curriculums that they're learning here. And it's all about, you know, fundamentally empowerment and, you know, being trusted and how to build those skills. But some of the challenges that, you know, the guys are facing when they're transitioning out from schools into work experiences is dropping into command and control and they don't get it.
Right.
And there's a big disconnect. And that, again, gives a perfect learning opportunity when you've got a leader or even a manager. And, you know, and let's challenge this a bit more, you know, it's not about a leader isn't always the person at the top. Amjad was a leader in my team. Right. So everybody was treated in that respect. But when they come into a work environment, how you've described, you know, the playground stuff, and I had a careers advisor and all that wonderful stuff years ago, because that's what you were taught. That's not how it is now. And, you know, millennials will shift and move companies because of the company and the manager that they're working for and to get that experience.
So what, you know, when you think about it from your perspective, you've both senior leaders in HR, you know, what are the consequences for organizations if they get this wrong? If they kind of do a bit of they continue to have that command and control, that kind of sheep dip type approach to kind of managers and leadership, what are the consequences of that, do you think, you know, for the future of work?
Jamta, do you want to move
it? Yeah. So Joe, the real thing is it creates a very, very toxic environment. And the consequences are good people are always going to go. And then you'll end up having people who are not so good. They're not competent and they're just sticking on the job because they need pay. So, I mean, I read a quote from Richard Branson who said, what's the consequences of, you know, not training and developing your people. And imagine if you don't do it, then what will happen of your business? Your business is not going to go anywhere. There'll be no engagement. There will be no empowerment. And I face this day in and day out. I mean, I have a problem with my laptop and I'm talking to a phone banking call center agent. And he's just like a duck, Joe. Quack, 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 quack. He goes there. Policy, procedure, I cannot do this. It's within the policy. He just reads and recites like a duck. Quack, quack. I mean, no brainer, no thinking power. He is refusing to even move my phone to a next level. That kind of fear psychosis is there. That if I call my manager or the supervisor in, then I'm going to be getting fired after the call. So no empowerment, nothing. So that is how it's going to happen. I'm never going to buy. It's a very big organization. It's in billions of dirhams of business. I'm never going to go in and buy a product from them. And I'm going to talk about it, you know, within my circle. So this is what is going to happen to businesses. Eventually, they are going to suffer. And they are suffering.
And I think you're right, Amjad. I totally buy that. I suppose the flip side of that, and where I kind of want to challenge you both, is that in a way, we've been talking about leadership and management as a profession, haven't we? For as long as I've worked in it, and we're talking 30 years here.
Yeah.
When are we going to say enough is enough? And that we finally cracked it? Because every single HR survey, or, you know, Deloitte's, you know, survey every year where they talk about CEOs' most concerns around people, we've still got that sort of management and leadership lens. Do you think we'll ever crack it? Or actually it's one of those things that actually we always need to work on? It's kind of a bit like, you know, in the UK, all we do is talk about the weather. You know, it's kind of one of those kind of environmental factors. What's your view on that?
So I'm not sure we'll ever quite crack it, would be my first response, which is the latter part of your statement. And the reason behind that is that I think the world now is moving at a great pace. Technology is impacting a lot of the way things happen. You've got, you know, bots, artificial intelligence, all that great stuff, which is underpinning a lot of change. That's also being overlaid against generational experience of leadership. Yep. So there's many, many moving parts in this. So I think it would be foolish for me to say to you, oh, don't worry, by 2025, we'll crack it, because that's not going to be the case. I think we'll be continually evolving what leadership really means.
Okay.
But I think I have a very strong opinion on the fact that leadership isn't to be seen as the traditional way of leadership should be seen, in the sense that, you know, I treat and have treated people at the junior levels in my teams historically as leaders. I respect them as leaders. They grow into those shoes with support and encouragement. And I think those experiences really broaden their minds for what's to come, if they should choose to take it. And the other debate, you know, is everyone a natural leader? I think everyone has a view on that. But for me, when I was starting my career, I didn't kind of set out to be a leader of a business. I kind of fell into banking because my dad said it would be a good idea. So I kind of went along and bought a ticket and jumped on the bus. But I only learned about that predominantly through watching lots of people over the years make lots of mistakes. Yeah. I've also seen lots of brilliant leaders. I have two or three brilliant mentors in the UK that you know, just amazing skills. And let me just be very clear, it is an absolute skill and an art to be a humble leader and still deliver on all of the numbers and all the stuff that comes with it.
Absolutely.
I think it helps a lot. So I don't know if that answers your question. I don't think we'll ever get there. I think we'll always be working on it.
Which is quite exciting. I mean, I think it's, I'm always really energized by the complexity. And I think it's one of those things that is, you know, sort of universal to every organization I've ever worked for and with currently, you know, as a consultant. And the fact that the piece that I'm really picking up from both of you is that this is also cultural in terms of the organization. So you can only move as fast as the organization. So you know, if it's not being mirrored from the top, then do you start at the bottom to kind of build that next generation, rather than knowing that old school hierarchical it's that agility that you talk about, that as an HR function we need to think about when we sort of launch into any sort of leadership or management intervention. is what I'm gaining from what you're talking about.
Yes. And an intervention doesn't need to be a formal course.
No.
It can be literally real-time feedback and observations.
Absolutely.
Learning from mistakes and stuff like that. And this is the thing that, you know, I've tried with Amjad and the guys, and I think that the piece, that transition from the UK to the Middle East, I have to say, nearly the 8 years that I've been here and having a 26-year career in London before, the biggest amount of personal learning and growth I've got was from that transition, because I literally was thrown into the deep end. And I have to say, it's been the most amazing experience. Very, very tough. Obviously, I had hair when I did that. I'm joking. But it has. It has been tough, but immensely rewarding when you start to see, you know, somebody like, you know, Amjad and some of the other team members come in as one person and move to another place as another person as a result of, you know, in my opinion, not doing too much, just being me and helping him to become him and find himself. And I think if you can do that, and that is a skill, apparently, so I've been told.
It's a big skill.
And help everybody to have that little moment of feeling special and help them to realize that, you know, their voice is as important as maybe the loudest member in the team's voice. That works a lot. The other piece, just to throw into the mix, I don't know if, where you want to go with this, but diversity inclusion also kicks in here. So when I inherited the team, my team here in the UAE was predominantly Indian. And I said to everybody, I'm going to diversify this because I want different levels of experiences and thinking. So the team ended up with, Emiratis, Uzbekistan, I had Jordanian, we had Indian, had English. So it was a really, really good mix. And I have to say, it was immensely challenging because as an English person, it's also respecting and understanding the cultural differences and building those tolerances into your humility, which again, always kept me busy. And I made mistakes. I said at the start, and I continue to say for all of this, but they told me in the end where I was making the mistakes because they felt empowered and confident enough to do that. And I was okay with it. And I think, you know, that also helped.
Well, I think everybody makes mistakes. I mean, I can definitely count on that. Do I love managing people? I find it challenging because I'm very, you know, I'm very, as one of our values says, I like to get shit done. Sometimes I know that, that struggle, that inherent struggle in myself, but I think it comes back to what you were talking about is understanding yourself enables you to lead people with authority, with humility, and do that. And if we can, that's a gift that as a leader you can unlock. I think that's the greatest thing that we can do as leaders is unlock that, which you've done with Amjad, and that Amjad will take into presumably the teams that you lead going forward. That will always stick in your mind because you were given the time, the space, and the trust to do a great job, which is really empowering.
And to add on, John, he'll feel a little bit embarrassed now. Like you said, we have done more work in his leadership than ever in our lives, in my 16 years of working in the same organization. And it's not that he forced me to do it. It's just that every time he came at 5:30, said, Amjad, don't sit on late. Amjad, don't do this. Amjad, go home. You have a wife, you have a child. But I sat down and I delivered more than what he asked for. And it was a fantastic environment. It's the culture, like you just mentioned before, right? It's how a manager creates that. And you feel embarrassed. I mean, before there was no feedback culture in our team. When he said, go and get feedback from your colleagues, I said, what? Then I went to a colleague and said, can you please give me feedback? He said, why are you asking me? For what? Why do I give you feedback?
Yeah.
So simple things like this, where, you know, he created that culture within our team, which actually made us do more than what he even asked for. We were empowered to go a step forward. After a while, we went with him to him with a question and we went with three solutions because I knew how he would think. He would say, okay, this is the question. So what do you think? So I already had three parallel solutions. So I think this will work, but I think I should do this. So what do you think, Greg? Oh yeah, I think you go on and try that. So that is what I learned. And that's the the humble nature of this man who's sitting on my left now.
So I am suitably embarrassed, and thank you for that. I think Amjad's just raised a really important word, and this was something that I think humble leaders and humble leadership has to think about, which is about the culture that you create in your team. Okay, so culture for me, I stayed up many a late night. These guys don't really know that, but you know, I would go to my coach, I would go to my mentors and say, right, I've got these typical challenges. And I think therein lies another bit of best practice. It's always, you know, realize you don't know it all, and always accept the fact that you need to go and continually learn. Yeah. And there was a really good quote that struck me at the time. It's a C.S. Lewis quote, and I'll read it to you because I've written it down so I don't forget the words. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Okay. And it's a brilliant quote. And I had that on a piece on my wall, and it just kept me focused. Some of those words and that definition of the statement was massively powerful. But another big hint and tip, and this comes back to the original question, it's about think very carefully about the culture that you're creating or perceived to be creating, and continually evolve that with your team, not to them. So everything we did was, it's like bringing agile learning in 18 months ago. We were the first team probably regionally that were even contemplating bringing agile into talent and learning regionally. Everyone kind of thought that's a bit weird, a bit strange, but then we had lockdown and the team just adapted. It was just a wonder to see. So I would suggest they became far more productive in the uncertainty period, not really knowing what was happening, no real guidance because we didn't know, but they just kind of knew. And yeah, for me, that was massively humbling, where I could sit and have the privilege of being able to steer the ship of these guys and watch them do what they did. And, you know, I'll never forget that.
Well, it reminds me of something that I say in a career workshop that I do. I sort of say the role of a manager is like the conductor in an orchestra. Great. You're not going to tell the first violin how to play the violin. What you're going to try and do is empower and engage the whole orchestra to make a beautiful sound.
Absolutely.
And I think that that is a real privilege for us as leaders to have that responsibility. And that, you know, Craig, you mentioned it. There's a weight that's associated with that, but you either feel empowered and excited and energized by that, or you don't. And that's where you see the great examples of, you know, people hiring great people, keeping them, and realizing that they're part in their career journey. An old boss said to me, my greatest gift is that you go off and do whatever the possibility you want. My gift is to give you that time and that space and that reflection to do that. Whether you're with me for a year or whether you're with me for 5 years, I would treat you exactly the same. And it's always stuck with me. And that for me sort of sums up humble leadership, because he was big enough in his own and confident enough to realize that we had our own ambitions. He had his own ambitions, but allowed me to be the best that I could be while I was working for him.
And I think that's a wonderful summary. And I use a similar phrase to the teams, because I actually was given this as a gift, actually, when somebody shared this with me, which was, it's about the legacy that you leave as the leader. So when you step out of that role, what happens? Do the team miss you and mourn you, or do the team, you know, have a party because you've got, right? And that, as a leader, you have a choice. And I've worked with, you know, individuals and senior people, you know, recently, where, you know, I'm pretty sure there would be a party when people shift. Likewise, I've worked with leaders and managers that people, it's a massive shoe to fill.
Absolutely.
You know, and for me, it's all about the legacy. And I shared that vision with the guys 4 years ago. And for me, I said, I want to be judged on the legacy that I leave you. And if that legacy is where I'm hoping it will be, then I've done my job. If I haven't, then I fail. But it aligns very nicely with your example, so I thought I'd share that.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you so much. Well, listen, I am totally inspired. I'm going to think about how I lead my team and how I actually ask them whether I'm doing some of the traits that you both have really eloquently talked about to me, but also to our listeners. So thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And if anybody is interested in learning more about Craig and Amjad's journey, then do get in contact with us. And we're very happy to connect you to both of them and see what they're doing and keep, you know, keep them on track with their legacy. And you can also do the same for me and Let's Talk Talent. So thank you, everybody. And thank you, Craig and Amjad. And have a great day.